Introducing Coco Gauff's signature shoe, more than just a tennis shoe. It's a fusion of 90s-inspired style and cutting-edge performance technology. With its sleek mid-cut silhouette, it's designed to enhance speed and power on the court. The multi-piece upper construction delivers high-energy return for players of all levels. Whether you're a seasoned pro or just starting out, the Coco CG1 empowers you to dominate the game. Learn more and purchase the Coco CG1 at NewBalance.com.
In a place where earthquakes abound, the big one just hit Indian Wells. Welcome to TC Live, where we lead you up to first ball every day here at the BNP Paribas Open. Aftershocks continue to rattle tennis paradise as the men's draw has been shaken up. A lot to discuss on this Tuesday. In one of the most unlikely upsets of all time, lucky loser and world number 123 Luca Nardi took out top-ranked Novak Djokovic in a thriller. Plus, Coco Gauff never trailed in her final match as a teenager. She now heads into her 20s with big dreams and bigger expectations. Mama said knock you out. When the tournament began, seven mothers were in the draw. Now just two remain in a battle for one berth in the quarterfinals. And with Jannik Sinner winning the Australian Open, it forced John Wertheim to revise his feature on the best man yet to win a major. We'll renew that debate later today. Look at our featured matches in the Sweet 16. First up on Stadium 1, Yuri Lehechka taking on Stefano Tsitsipas. How about the returning champ, Carlos Alcaraz, trying to get his revenge from Rome against Fabian Marajan. The battle of the Alexes, Zverev and Dimonor. Jannik Sinner takes on American Ben Shelton under the lights. And world number one, Iga Świątek, won this event a couple years ago, taking on Yulia Putintseva. The aforementioned Stefano Tsitsipas out on the practice court, getting ready to go first up, playing Lehechka for the third time in his career. Tsitsipas going for his second trip to the quarterfinals here. As for the returning champ, Alcaraz going for his third straight quarterfinal. Carries an eight-match winning streak at Indian Wells coming in and wants that revenge against Fabian Marajan. As always, you can find us inside Stadium 1 behind those glass walls on the BMW desk. We are going four wide once again. Steve Weissman, Coco Vandeweghe, John Isner, Prakash Amitraj. Like that photo from Kate Middleton, we did not believe it was real. But in fact, the lucky loser, Luca Nardi, did defeat the world number one, Novak Djokovic. What's your reaction?
I mean, you can't be anything but shocked at this point. It's been quite a milestone for Djokovic to lose these many matches as he has to these quality of players. Not any knock on his opponent who beat him last night. It takes a lot of effort to get that first number one scalp. I've gotten a few in my own, and it's really been tough to get through those milestones, and credit to him. But I think it is time to kind of push a little bit, like have your finger on the trigger of that panic button, just a little bit.
Yeah, look, that was a massive upset last night. I'm watching the match on TV, and of course you're just assuming Djokovic is going to, you know, take control of the match and you know, win it in three sets, but this is not what happened. Nardi stuck with him in the third set, and he was clearly the better player in that final frame. So look, it's a match that we did not, you know, see happening, a result we did not see happening. You know, Djokovic with his loss in Australia to Sinner, not looking too sharp in that one, and then this loss to yesterday, might have some question marks.
Well, listen, first of all, it was the best drama we've had all tournament long. Our Jim Courier did such a great job taking us through the storytelling of that entire encounter. And for me, this is why we love sport. This is why we go and play. I mean, look, in any other thing, the world number one versus someone outside the top 100, all right, results already done. You just move on to the next thing. But this is why we roll out the balls and play. Every time you get one of these out of every thousand and thousand and thousands number of matches, this is what reminds you that an impossible thing is actually possible, and it gives us hope in our everyday lives. I love it.
Best reality show in the world.
Come
on. Live sports. Gotta love it. Right. Here's how it all went down last night. Novak Djokovic and Luca Nardi. Djokovic, five-time champ, world number one. Nardi, lucky loser. Lost to David Goffin in the qualies, John.
That's right. He was a lucky loser here. Anytime you get into the main draw as a lucky loser, you definitely have a new lease on life in the tournament. And that's exactly the mindset he took into this match. And look, we saw Novak struggle a bit in his first match, and of course you just assume he's going to pick it up and play better in his second one. That's not what happened. He was a bit frustrated throughout the course of this match. As we can see here, he thought Nardi, you know, stopped playing, but look, Nardi was expecting an out call and it never came there, so you know, he did nothing wrong. But Djokovic wins the second set, comes back to the third, and again, as I keep saying, you just automatically assume he's going to take over and win this third set. It's not what happened. Nardi stuck with him and, you know, watched his forehand up the line. Boom! And he ends up getting the crucial break right here to go up 4-2. And then, you know, there's, of course, question marks. Is he going to be able to close the match out with ease against Djokovic? And he answered that question with the plum right here with an ace out wide to close out the match. Gets the world number one in the night match at Indian Wells. Very, very impressive.
Can you believe it? The Nard Dog making Stadium One his office with a primetime performance. Had twice as many winners as the 24-time Grand Slam champion, 36-18. Pulls off the upset of the year. So what does it mean? Well, he's the fourth lowest-ranked player to beat a reigning world number one at a Masters 1000. You see our own Nico Pereira there. Back in 96, Miami beat Tomas Muster. He's the lowest-ranked player to ever defeat Djokovic at a Masters 1000 or Grand Slam event. And it also puts him in the top 100 for the first time. So let's hear from both guys, starting with the young Italian.
You've beaten the world number one. How did you keep your nerve? You seem so calm out here tonight.
I don't know, man. Really, I don't know. I mean, I think that this is a miracle because, you know, I'm a 20-year-old guy, 100 in the world, and beating Novak. So, crazy.
So he played great and deserved to win. I was more surprised with my level. You know, my level was really, really bad. And that's it, you know. These two things come together. He's having a great day. I'm having a really bad day. And that's, you know, results as a negative outcome for me.
Any thoughts about Tommy Paul?
Tommy Paul for what? I play against him? Oh, really? I didn't know. I mean, I didn't check the draw. I mean, you know, no. Okay, so thanks for letting me know.
I mean, that's classic right there. No idea who he was playing next. Why are you asking me about Tommy Paul?
Talk about staying in the moment right there.
Right? I mean, absolutely. That's you could see how shocked he was that he won that match. Yeah. I mean, this is a guy, Prakash, who grew up with a poster of Novak Djokovic on his bedroom door. How did he shut the door down against the world number one?
Well, again, you talked about it, Coco. Being able to stay in the moment was the big key here. You start thinking about all these different stats and the fact that you are the lowest ranked man to ever beat Novak Djokovic in a Masters 1000. These are the kind of things you're going for. He's only had four tour level wins before this. This was his fifth. First one over a world number one, but that third set, that was exceptional stuff. I mean, for Novak Djokovic to hit two winners and for him to come up with 16, that just shows you how in his element he was. He kind of put out all the numbers, the spreadsheets out of it, and it was just about the tennis.
Italian tennis is having a moment right now. I mean, they are yes. Coming up. We had never heard of this guy, and then 20 years old, he beats Novak Djokovic. So on the other side, 1 to 10 right now, where's your panic level for Novak Djokovic?
I think it's just starting to creep over a 5. But what I was so impressed with from Nardi was how many different looks he gave Djokovic. He was coming in off of Djokovic's second serve. He was chipping and coming in and also using that chip to drive Djokovic forward into the net, having him under control when Djokovic was up and around the net. And that's something we haven't seen out of Djokovic as far as getting out of position. That's something that Novak just is so in control of with his movement, with his athleticism. So it's impressive to see such a young Italian move him around, get him uncomfortable really early and often.
Coco says a little over 5 on the panic meter. John, what do you say?
Look, I'm not panicking just yet. Look, okay. In his match against Sinner in Australia, he admittedly said that his level was pretty bad. And look, he said it again. His level was bad last night. But we're so accustomed to such greatness from Novak that when he does lose these matches, of course, you're immediately surprised. But he's no stranger to some weird losses in tournaments like this. He had 2018, his last time at this event, he lost to Taro Daniel. Followed that up with the loss of Benoit Paire, also in 2018 in Miami. So, look, I wouldn't panic just yet. Pretty certain he's going to figure it out. He knows exactly what he needs to do. He's the consummate professional. He should be all right.
Yeah, look, in the last several years, he hasn't had sort of outlier losses like this. He's had some losses here and there where everyone sort of panics because he never loses
right.
at all.
Exactly.
So I would maybe creep it up a little bit. I would, in my estimation, put it lower than a five. I think for me, the bigger concern is that he had two matches where he didn't play close to the level that we normally see him at. That center match, he played well below par for a semifinal in a Grand Slam. Here, coming into an event where he hadn't played, he wanted to get some matches. This still was a surprise loss. You've seen someone maybe around 50 light it up, all of a sudden take him out, like in Monte Carlo or something like that. But this was big. But again, maybe a three.
Three. Okay. Three. Until it happens multiple times exactly. at a Grand Slam, no need to panic quite yet.
I think so.
For the guy that's still world number one, by the way. That side of the draw, though, opening up for guys like Taylor Fritz facing a red-hot Sebastian Baez Prakash coming in off back-to-back titles, but Fritzy's never lost a set against the Argentine.
No, and I don't think he could be any happier with this performance. He did everything just about as well as he could have wanted. He was in a really great rhythm serving, 88%. He won on his first serve, 67, almost up to 70 on that second serve, which is really impressive, 9 aces. And when you're serving like that, really allows you to open up. Strikes that backhand down the line well. He sat with us on our TC desk and said that's actually one of his favorite shots to pull the trigger on. Showing some nice defense here, tracking down the lob. Baez just not enough juice to be able to get past Taylor. Taylor was really the one who was staying on the offensive all the way through. He broke Baez at ease 4 times, never faced 1 break point.
Fritz also told us, despite the scoreline, he actually didn't feel great about the performance, which is honestly a scary sign for everyone else remaining in the draw when you win 2-2 like that. So could another American reach the Sweet 16? Sepp Korda has won 2 straight against Daniil Medvedev, and this one would go the distance, John.
It absolutely would go the distance. Sebi Korda has 2 big wins over Medvedev pretty recently. One over him in the Australian Open a couple years ago and Shanghai last year. So look, he's no stranger to beating this guy. He took that belief into this match, dropped the first set, but came back strong at the latter stages of this second set. And he ends up taking this one to a third. And we saw a lot of positive emotion out of Sebi, which I like to see. Look, he's a very cool, calm customer on the court, but he showed some great emotion here when he was able to force the third set right here. But look, this match was littered with breaks of serve. 16 in total. 9 for Medvedev, 7 for Sebi. Look, it's going to be a tough one for Sebi to swallow here. He breaks serve 7 times against world number four, and don't win. But look, he can take some positives out of this. He played well. We know what he can do on return, but just Medvedev, just a little too unorthodox and a little too strong with Sebi tonight.
16 grand, that is not an Isner-like.
No, it's not. That's for sure.
Grigor Dimitrov up next for Daniil Medvedev as Sepp Korda leaves the desert. Let's take a look at this draw, Prakash. There's some great matchups in the round of 16. Which one are you most looking forward to?
Beyond that, I see a lot of opportunity. I mean, you got to look at Daniil Medvedev on this type of surface as probably the favorite to be able to come through, but I don't see why anyone can't light it up and be able to make the final here, even from our Americans there. Tommy Paul has been playing brilliant all week. Taylor Fritz, of course, a former winner here. I think the matchup, though, that I'm looking most forward to, shout out to Medvedev and Dimitrov. Hopefully that's another classic like in the Paris Masters end of last year. Fritz and Runa. Gotta be Fritz and Runa. I think that's going to be a great one.
On the women's side, Coco Gauff playing her last singles match as a teenager, taking on Lucia Bronzetti. First 3 games took more than 20 minutes, Coco. Gauff faced 9 break points, saved all of them.
No, Brett and I called this match, and it seemed like the inevitable was going to come, that Coco Gauff was going to get down in her service games. But this is what Coco Gauff has been doing so well. When she isn't playing her best, when things are breaking down in her game, she finds a way to win. And what she relies on so much is her athleticism. And that gives her the opportunity to be able to start getting her teeth into matches. You can see Bronzetti moving Coco Gauff around the court, but Coco just doing such a great job of constantly getting the extra ball back. Even with that pass down the line, just reading the court, reading the play so well. But in this second set, it really got tight. A bit of back and forth. Coco got an early break, but gave it right back. But unfortunately, Bronzetti, her knuckleball that was coming back was really landing short, and Coco really figured out her footwork, getting up to the ball quicker and really putting a stamp of authority towards the end.
Once again, Coco Gauff figures out a path to victory. She'll play Elisa Mertens on her 20th birthday. Take a listen.
Today was tight, but, you know, the first set was pretty straightforward. And in the second, I was up a break. So, I don't know. I'm not really looking at it being tight. She played well today. I think she, has a tough game to play. She hits the ball like really flat and low, and it doesn't give you a lot of speed to generate. So you have to do all the generating yourself, which is, something you're not used to a lot in the women's game, because a lot of players are power players. So it was something to adjust to today.
Let's take a look at this side of the draw. Aryna Sabalenka tested again against Emma Raducanu, but comes through. She'll take on the other Emma, Navarro, who got past Svitolina last night. Maria Sakkari, new coach David Witt. They're undefeated so far. You got Goff and Mertens. Kazatkina up at the top, taking out Sloane Stephens, John. And when you talk about Coco Gauff, has been tested. No easy victory. So is that a good sign for her going forward into this second week?
I think it's a very, very good sign. I mean, she was down and out in her first match. Able to, of course, claw back, win that one. Yesterday was a very tight match as well. I don't think she brought her best game out there. I think she would admit that as well. So, look, this is a bad sign for the rest of the field that she has not really hit her stride yet in this tournament. So maybe with her birthday here, she's not a teenager. She might start playing even better. So we'll see.
I think it's all about the narrative you tell yourself, right? You can either focus on the fact that, oh, gosh, I haven't found my best game yet. But I think you got to look at it exactly as John is saying. The fact that you haven't and you're still finding ways to win. Look, all the players, especially in the top of the game and a little bit lower, as soon as you're playing well, you never have to worry about those days, especially when you have big weapons like Coco Gauff. It's other days that you want to consistently bring up. And that's been the biggest development in Coco's game over the last 12 months. So she should feel amazing. She hasn't found her best yet. She's still cruising through the event.
No, it's survive and conquer, move on. And that's what Coco Gauff needs to really focus on, is she got through two tough rounds, not mainly because of the players, but because of the fact that she's not playing to the expectations that we all have. And I think she really needs to take a look at what she said a little bit in that press conference of how these slower balls, she wasn't really handling that well. She wasn't that used to. And that all starts with her footwork and her racket head speed. And that's something that we've been knocking a little bit on her game. Is especially on the forehand side, she decelerates, she pushes the ball back, and that gets her into trouble, especially against the bigger hitters, because they're able to come forward and be able to take those balls early and take away time from Coco Gauff. But I agree with both of you. There's only an upward trajectory for Coco's game that she can constantly get better and improve, and I think we'll see her best tennis in the rounds to come.
Yeah, we'll see if we get that Coco Gauff Aryna Sabalenka matchup. That would be...
That'd be great.
Popcorn battle. We'll have more on Luka Nardi and the huge upset against Novak Djokovic on TC Live. Our expert's going to break down the plan for that guy, Ben Shelton, to take out Jannik Sinner and his 17-match win streak. Plus, rockabye, oh baby, the mom tracker going crazy as Angie Kerber is about to play Caroline Wozniacki for a place in the quarterfinals. Don't go anywhere. Coco, John, Prakash, and Steve back on TC Live at Indian Wells. You can set up multiple screens to watch this fine event. We have you covered on T2 and Bally Sports. Leif Shiras, Paul Anacone on the call for Anastasia Potapova and Jasmine Paolini. She's on a big win streak, followed by Anastasia Pavlyuchenkova and Marta Kostyuk. And following the matches on T2, we have the Second Serve crew bringing you at least three more hours of tennis matches, banter, and guests with Tracy Austin. So what will it look like in the desert? How about Michael Chang in the house? It's time now for the forecast with Fox Weather.
Hello, tennis fans. I'm Fox Weather's Bob Van Dillon. Today is a good day to play tennis. This is your BNP Paribas Open Tennis Forecast. And yeah, my mostly sunny skies, we've got it once again. Dry conditions out there, temperatures climbing into the upper 70s. It's going to feel great. Remember, you can download the Fox Weather app or stream Fox Weather from your favorite connected TV device.
Thank you, Bob. Always a good day to play tennis in tennis paradise. Naomi Osaka took the court Monday, knowing a win would mean a Wednesday showdown with Coco Gauff. We'll tell you exactly what happened.
Introducing Coco Gauff's signature shoe, more than just a tennis shoe. It's a fusion of 90s-inspired style and cutting-edge performance technology. With its sleek mid-cut silhouette, it's designed to enhance speed and power on the court. The multi-piece upper construction delivers high-energy return for players of all levels. Whether you're a seasoned pro or just starting out, the Coco CG1 empowers you to dominate the game. Learn more and purchase the Coco CG1 at NewBalance.com.
Welcome back. Tennis.com is the place to keep up with the action from Indian Wells and all year round. Check it out to follow men's and women's tournament draws, as well as breaking news, live scores, stats, the big results. Remember to download the Tennis app or visit Tennis.com today. And every single day, Leah Davidoff has your three to see, previewing the best matches. She's looking at Ben Shelton and Jannik Sinner, the battle of Alexes, Zverev and Demonor, and the mom match of Kerber and Wozniacki. Back to last night's action. Emma Navarro on the verge of the top 20, looking to beat a top 20 player for the first time this season, facing Alina Svitolina, Prakash.
Boy, Emma Navarro's forehand was firing. You'll see all the reasons here why she's moving so fastly up the rankings. Off of one leg there, the brilliant inside-in forehand cruised away with this first set. Another heavy forehand seals it. She took it 6-1. She got 72% first serves in throughout the match. That just creates a lot of opportunities for her. Now, up a set and a break here, trying to close things out in the second set, but we all know how much of a fighter Alina Svitolina has. She was the one doing a little bit more of the aggressive pushing in that second set, found a way to fight her way back, reeled off a few games in a row, gets herself to set point here, forces the error from Navarro. We go into a third, but Navarro didn't lose it mentally, kept the body language up, nice and strong, returned really well. This was the long rally, 33 shots, and at the tail end of it, still showing enough wheels and touch. Able to come up with a little backspinner. She can't believe it, a little head shake, but it came at such a crucial point that she was able to seal things with yet another big forehand.
17th win of the year for Emma Navarro. That's time for the most on tour. She will get Aryna Sabalenka next. How about the 2018 champ Naomi Osaka, trying to win three straight for the first time since her return from maternity leave, and four straight, Coco, against Elisa Mertens?
Yes, and I thought this was going to be a pretty straightforward match from Naomi, just come out there and really bully Mertens off the court, but it really starts with Naomi from her first serve. And that first set, only at 32%. That's just unforgivable from someone with that big of a serve. Some way, somehow, you have to get a higher percentage there. Naomi, though, she's always a fighter, always a champion, trying to claw her way back in the second set. But quite honestly, just playing too many balls into the Mertens backhand. That's her stronger wing. You got to break down the Mertens forehand in order to be able to have the advantage out here. Otherwise, you start giving Mertens a rhythm, and that just plays into her game plan. And it was really just airs galore, as you see on the match point. Just misses 3-4 feet long.
Mertens into the Sweet 16 here for the first time. Picks up her first win against Osaka since 2017. So cue the tunes, as we've got a couple of mamas left. And guess what? We're guaranteed one mother to make it into the quarterfinals, because Caroline Wozniacki and Angie Kerber are playing each other later today. We are looking forward to that one. But before we look ahead, though, quick thoughts, Prakash, on what you saw from Osaka here this past 2 weeks.
I think still just finding her rhythm. I mean, when you talk to her mentally, she seems like, you know what, she's keyed in. She doesn't mind being a little bit patient. It's going to eventually come. But for her, it's always going to be about execution. She hits the ball so big, as Coco, as you said, the power is there, but she was just spraying a little bit too much and just kind of finding when to pull the trigger and just kind of getting a little bit more comfortable with that shot selection as she moves forward is going to be the big key for her.
Yeah, look, I think you're right. She's not played many tournaments, of course, in the last year and a half. For obvious reasons. But look, she's finally finding her way on the court. She's winning a few matches here and there. It takes some time. You know, she's been through a lot on and off the court. So look, I think some of her best tennis is, of course, ahead of her in the future.
Coco Gauff finishing her teenage years with 157 victories, a record 51 at the 1,000 level events, Coco, and takes on Elisa Mertens, somebody that she's undefeated against, including a win on her way to the U.S. Open title last year.
Well, I mean, I understand that she is undefeated against Elisa Mertens. It's very complex that Coco would have a struggle against her, because Elise Mertens doesn't really have such a big weapon to hurt you. She is just solid, and she's hoping for her opponents to make a lot of errors. And Coco Gauff just really isn't quite that player that will make that many errors. Yes, we've been seeing more and more of that playing into the forehand, but the problem with Elise Mertens is she doesn't want to be in those forehand-to-forehand rallies, so she's going to want to get to those backhand exchanges, and I think Coco Gauff has the advantage in those.
Absolutely. We'll see how that one plays out. Meantime, back to the men's side we go. We see all the players hanging out on the field nearby, and well, this was posted on social media the other day. Just a couple of dudes in short shorts comparing quads.
First of all, John's legs are much bigger than those. Just for anyone wondering, Jay, you think they're flexing, or is that just a non-flex?
They're flexing. Shiny legs, especially from Runa. There, sun is out. The quads are out.
It's a good look, right?
No, not a good look. Come on.
Look, if he's got it, show it off. But look, here we go. This is Runa and those short shorts and shiny legs taken first up on center court yesterday. Look, we all know he's back with his old former coach, Mouratoglou. And Runa played a very, very strong match. This is his first match of the tournament because he got that withdrawal from Raonic. So you don't really know how he was going to come out and play, but looked pretty solid to me. He served fantastic, only faced two break points in the match, saved both of them. And he got to a second set tiebreaker, and he was just a little bit too strong for Musetti. As we see, finished left, then ace up the tee. Big result for him, and it sets up a big, big match against Taylor Fritz.
Yeah, certainly
in the round of 16.
John, he told us after, at 5 on that breaker, did you see me pull up the shorts? A little intimidation factor. Can't handle these quads. Two-time Indy Wells quarterfinals gal, Monfils, going for his fourth straight win against Cam Nori. Already has a top 10 win this week over Hubie Hurkacz. John Lamothe having himself a moment.
He absolutely is. Back on Stadium 3 where he was against Hubie Hurkacz. Treated this crowd to another incredible match. This first set was something spectacular. Cam Nori had 20 break points alone in this first set. Converted two of them. Was able to win the first set, but look, I don't know if that had a cumulative effect, a bit of a wear and tear on him. Look at this serve Monfils hits in the second set tiebreaker, an underhand serve. That's what you get out of him. He is such a showman. Was able to win the second set here in another tiebreak. I don't advise drop-shotting Monfils in a big point. That's what Cam did not work, but Monfils took that momentum into the third set, was able to get the break of serve here at 4-3. And eventually was able to serve out the match. But this was a very, very impressive win from Gael at 37 years of age, still doing this. Look, this is a good tournament for him to do this at. Get some days off after matches, so he should be able to recover today and see what he can bring up for tomorrow. But a fantastic win out on Stadium 3 yesterday.
Half of Gem's life is still alive. It is Gael Monfils moving on into the fourth round here for the sixth time. When we come back, all these star players hoping to get off of John Wertheim's list of best male player who has yet to win a major. Coco, John, and Prakash will tell you who tops their list next.
And now it's time for a revisit. At the start of the 2024 Australian Open, we discussed the best player never to have won a major. We stress that this distinction is both a compliment and a slight. You're good enough to take one of the sport's ultimate prizes, but you haven't taken the essential last step. We concluded that the honor, so to speak, went to Jannik Sinner. All that talent and potential, all that power and precision, a firm position in the top five, no big prize yet. And then, of course, record scratch. Sinner played himself into ineligibility, blending all those gifts, showing great poise, and winning that 2024 Australian Open title. Good for him. But in terms of the best player without a major, who does that leave? Well, suddenly a shortage of obvious candidates. Norway's Casper Ruud has been to three major finals over the last 2 years, but those runs seem to be more about overachievement than close but not quite hopefulness. Stefanos Tsitsipas has been to multiple major finals and reached four additional semifinals, but his stock is currently heading in the wrong direction, and he left the top 10 in February. Andrei Rublev has been to 10 major quarterfinals. That's awesome. Less awesome, he is still in search of his first semifinal. Another Russian, Karen Khachanov, has been to multiple major semifinals, but no finals, and he's never been in the top five. Neither is Nick Kyrgios, who, among other challenges, has had trouble staying sufficiently healthy. Which brings us to our winner, such as it is. Alexander Zverev came within a game, a serving game, of winning the 2020 U.S. Open. He didn't close and hasn't been back to another major final since. But he has been close, most recently in Australia, where he beat Carlos Alcaraz, himself a two-time major winner, and was a set from the final. Zverev hits an immaculately clean ball. He's recovered from a serious injury. He's only 26. And one more thing, he's won four of his five matches against Sinner, which must be a source of optimism. If that guy can do it, why can't I? We'll see you in Paris next, and if Zverev should happen to win that tournament, well, we'll revisit this discussion before Wimbledon.
Thompson props. He called Sinner in the last piece. He's going to be the guy. And what did he do? He went out and won in Melbourne. So here are the six players that John mentioned. Best men's player yet to win a major. John Isner, which one do you think is number one for you?
I think John hit the nail on the head there. I think it's Sasha Zverev. Obviously, we know how close he was in the U.S. Open. And he's very close at the French Open as well, beating Rafa before he rolled his ankle very, very badly. So, look, he's had a lot of opportunities, a lot of chances, but he's going to keep giving himself those opportunities. He's an incredibly hard worker. He's going to keep doing the right things. I think he's going to get more chances to be in the quarterfinals, semifinals of these Grand Slams, and hopefully he can break through.
I think it's a toss-up for me between on that six between Stefanos and Zverev. But just where they're trending right now, I do tend to agree with John. I think he's moving in the right direction. He's got momentum. He played great in Australia. He's moving into his best season, which is the clay coming up. So very close between those two because Steph was right there. That French final, two sets to love against Djokovic. But I think I'll lean towards Zverev out of those six.
Yeah. Zverev and Casper Ruud, the only ones that have been to number two in the world. Casper Ruud has the most major finals of that group, Coco. Who's your top pick from that list?
Well, I'm going to make this a diverse discussion. I'm going to go with Casper Ruud. That was my pick. I know he's just solid, and sometimes solid wins Grand Slams where you're just so consistent that you're able to get through these tough rounds, these difficult situations, deal with rain delays and all the conditions that come with a Grand Slam. I've always heard going into a Grand Slam that sometimes it's better to be lucky at a Grand Slam, having not played on the hottest day or not having to sit around and deal with rain delay or a long five-setter, I'm sorry, John, to follow in front of you. So sometimes you got to deal with those situations. And I think Casper Ruud, he does it with his game. And I think he's got the best shot out of all of them.
You going to take that, John?
It's all good. I know a lot of people have been stuck behind me on the schedule. Don't take any offense to that. It's all good.
Listen, I would replace a bunch of guys on the bottom of that graphic that we had there. I think Grigor Dimitrov is a guy who's been to three in the world, won the ATP Finals before playing good tennis now. I think a guy like Ben Shelton, if you're looking to the future, could be the next guy not on that list to win a major. Prakash, who do you think not on that list will be the next man to win a major?
I think I'm going to go with Holger. And I'm going to go to Holger Rune. I think it's sort of, you know, probably deep inside him a little bit that Alcaraz has already picked up a couple sinners, picked up one, and he's been the most vocal one talking about we're the next big three. I'm the next guy in there with them. And he's already had exceptional results for being so young. Lost his way just a little bit towards the end of last year, trying to find his way through the whole coaching carousel. But now he's back with Patrick Mouratoglou, who, you know, he found his most success with. And above all else, Steve, we've talked about it. Kid got absolute highest level of dog in him. So I think he could be the next one on the group, not on that list.
Yeah. John?
For me, I'm going to go with the American boys. I think the reason Ben Shelton wasn't on that list is because there's just not a big enough sample size yet. He has not been playing too many Grand Slams at this stage in his career. So between someone like Ben, Tommy, even Sebi Korda, if he can improve his serve, and of course Taylor Fritz, I like those guys in the next 3 or 4 years to really give themselves a good opportunity to finally break through.
Well, I think, again, you guys, you miss a big key factor, the earthquake that shocked the world. Luca Nardi, how can you not put him in the list?
Do it, Cole. Do it.
I'm not going to put him on the list. I'm not throwing it out there. But I'm going to go with Sebi Korda. I think his game is so complete right now. He just needs to add on the intangibles. And I think he has it in him. It's just channeling, as Prakash loves to say, that inner dog in him. He's got to get that dog out of him. He's got to show these guys that he is cutthroat, that he's going to take their lunch money. And that's what you kind of need. You need that meanness in you to be able to succeed and be a Grand Slam champion.
Coco got me fired up right now this morning.
Korda's the guy protecting the kid who's getting his lunch money stolen. He's not the one stealing the lunch money. You know, I think that's the dog in him.
That's very
he's like
noble.
An offensive
that's
lineman.
That's very noble, by the way.
Right?
Yeah,
like,
that's
yeah. Good guy, Seb. Yeah. All right, one of those guys that we just talked about, Stefano Tsitsipas, will he be the next to win a major? He is up first on Stadium One, taking on Jiří Lehecka, the 32 seed here in the desert. First ball, not too far away. Don't go anywhere. It's TC Live at Indian Wells. Welcome back to The Big Show, served with Andy Roddick. The new weekly series on T2 watches the Hall of Famer, discusses the biggest stories in tennis with John Wertheim and other special guests. New episodes drop Sunday, 1 p.m. Eastern. Isner, you going to be on the show with A-Rod?
I've not had that invite yet. Andy, really? What are you waiting on, dude? Let's go. No, like he was up to number 8 on
All
Sports Podcast. Very impressive at such an early stage.
If
in
you
that
want to
podcast.
Get to 7, get Big John on there. Per usual this time in the show, we focus on the Americans in action. Caroline Dalahad been finding her form of late, starting strong against Yuan Yu.
No, it was a great start for Caro. Her forehand was really bouncing off the court. And that's what these courts do so well for Caro's game. She's able to dictate with topspin, heavy topspin. But Yuan coming back and trying to find Caro's backhand early and often. And Caro really couldn't get out of those situations. And unfortunately, Caro being in the first opportunity to make inroads into this tournament, she kind of let her foot off the gas pedal, played not to lose instead of to win. And I think that's been a hiccup in Caro's game. She had multiple opportunities in this third set to come back, but Yuan playing with such confidence coming off of the title in Austin. Great job getting through that third round.
Meantime, Sloane Stephens has won her last 3 matches against Daria Kazakina, including this year in Melbourne, not yesterday.
No, it was a tough go for Sloane. She came out really well in this first set. And usually Sloane is a bit of a slow starter. She doesn't always bring her best game out there. She's a little bit sluggish to the start. And that's where opponents can really pounce on Sloane's game and get her on the defensive quickly. But Kazakina, she constantly puts you in uncomfortable situations. But what she does so well is her transition forward. She takes time away, moves forward really quickly, and maneuvers the ball around the court as she does here, setting up after a first serve. And that's what she's improved so much in her game to come back up the rankings. But here she is just biding her time against Sloane, and Sloane's impatience really just set her off in this third set and let Kazakina come out with the victory.
That's a big win for Dasha Kazakina. Told us on the desk after some revenge for a bunch of losses she's had against Sloane in the past. As Stephens ends her run here at Indian Wells, we'll head to Miami. Prakash, what do you think her prospects are for the rest of this season?
Well, I loved what I saw. I loved what I saw from her. When she's getting a little bit more aggressive and not getting too complacent, that's when I think she's playing her best tennis. But at the same time, she is just such a tremendous athlete. So you do want to be able to intimidate with that speed of hers that has served her so well in the past. So when she's finding that balance, which she did for a good portion of that match, I think it's going to carry her in good stead. I think she's really got to take away all the positives here because she was right there all the way through.
John, your thoughts?
Yeah, I think, look, this is a time of year that Sloane loves. As we know, she has won Miami before, so hopefully next week can be some happy hunting grounds for her. But look, as Prakash said, she showed some pretty good form yesterday against Kazakina, losing a tough 3-set match. There's nothing to hang your head about. Carry that momentum into next week and the week after that. Should be in pretty good form going forward.
Oh, and let's not forget that it's home court advantage for Sloan when she gets to Miami. She lives right nearby, and that's always the comforts of being at home, being able to have your own bed to sleep in. That's something that most tennis players don't ever get to experience. But I agree with both you guys. This is a great stepping stone for Sloan to get back into her winning ways. We know she can have up and down years, but we're going into the nitty-gritty of what Sloan loves. She loves the American hard court swing, and she also really enjoys the clay court swing. She plays a lot there, and hopefully she can pick up a couple more points so she ends up getting seated at these Grand Slams and at these thousands events so she doesn't have to face a tough opponent early on.
After Miami, which she's won, she goes to Charleston, which she has won in the past, goes to Roland Garros, which she's made the finals. A lot of good things coming up for Sloane Stephens. Back to the American men in action. Tommy Paul's been playing some clean tennis in the desert, facing Hugo Humbert, who comes off a title in Dubai.
Yes, Mr. Smooth Tommy Paul. I really like this match for him. This is on Stadium 2 yesterday. These courts suit Tommy a little bit better than Hugo. Hugo really likes fast courts, which is what Dubai was. He was able to win that title. But look, Tommy, very confident playing. After an early loss in Acapulco, he seems to be in much better form here in Indian Wells. He's one of the game's best returners. He broke serve three times, which is no easy task against a great server like Hugo. And we see Tommy finishing the match off at net. Big win for him, because look, let's be honest, his draw has kind of opened up a little bit. He doesn't get to face the greatest player of all time in his next match.
Instead of Novak, he gets Luka Nardi. We had an All-American women's doubles match that had the crowd absolutely packed over there on Stadium 3. First set was a battle between Coco Gauff, Jessica Gula, Dez Krafcik, and Caroline Delahunt.
Well, some really entertaining points here. You see all parts of the court being used. Nice cross there by Krafcik, but just two good hands from Coco. They were up a break there early in the first, but Coco served a double. They couldn't serve it out. Got pushed into a breaker, but check this out. Massive return from Jessica Gula at 9-9. In that opening set breaker, that was just enough to give them a slight advantage. And then Coco with a couple of big groundies. First the backhand, then the forehand. A little bit too much for Delahunt to handle. Takes the first set 7-6. Second set, a little bit more straightforward. Couple breaks, seals the deal.
Cannot say it enough. The atmosphere for doubles here in the desert, there is nothing like it. You can barely get into the stadium. Gauff and Pegula moving on. It's an Olympic year. They're going for gold later in Paris. When we come back, we're breaking down all the matches coming up today and tonight. Who's going to win and who's going home?
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This is a special Bloomberg report for Tennis Channel. U.S. inflation came in a little warmer in February. The core figure, which strips out food and energy costs, topping forecasts as prices climb for used cars, air travel, and clothes. J.P. Morgan CEO Jamie Dimon issuing a warning on the U.S. economy, saying recession is not off the table just yet. And Porsche's telling investors to expect weaker returns this year due to costly rollout of new models. In New York, I'm Yahira Hawkes for Bloomberg.
Used to get that new Porsche in Stuttgart, right? Every year?
Listen, I was close. I was close one year only. I wish it was back on hard court so I'd have as many Porsches as Lindsay Davenport. You know, that's a key factor. It needs to go back to indoor hard.
Chanda Rubin got some Porsches as well. Coming up, Bally Sports T2, top of the hour. Anastasia Potapova, Jasmine Paolini, and then Anastasia Pavlyuchenkova and Marta Kostyuk. Time now for our FanDuel match of the day. We've got Stefano Tsitsipas and Yuri Lehechka. Big-time favorite for the Greek. He is 2-0 against Lehechka in the head-to-head, winning a three-setter in Rotterdam in 2022. Straight sets at last year's Aussie Open. What do we make of these odds, Iz?
Look, I think these odds are pretty accurate, just given how Tsitsipas played in his last match against Francis. He was dialed in, but at the same time, Lehechka was as well. Can we talk about how clean he hits the ball? The sound that his racket makes when he smashes that ball is absolutely incredible. He played insane against Rublev, really dominated the match from the get-go. Tsitsipas is a favorite for a reason. I like him, but look, I think this could be a very close match.
I'm a little torn here, just given on the form that Lehecka has been playing and the manner in which he took out Andrei Rublev in that last round. So it's a tough one, but if you're really putting me on the spot and saying, listen, you got your last note here, you got to put it on something, I'm putting it on the Greek.
Yeah.
You got to go with the odds there.
You got to stick with the head-to-head. I mean, 2-0 for Tsitsipas, and the way he was able to go about the AO win, that definitely puts the money line in a huge favor for Tsitsipas, and I agree with you, Prakash. You got to stick with the heavy favorite. Don't lose your money on this bet. Save it for something else. You know, bet with your heart and your mind on this one.
Never bet with your heart. you end up broken in the streets. I do like the Le Coq Sportif going a little old school for Yuri Lehecka. I mean, that's like, you know, in the 80s that used to be the brand, right?
Absolutely. It's an old school brand. It's another guy, quad father himself. Yeah. He's a Czech dude. He's taken after his coach, Tomas Berdych, who we all know had massive tree trunks as well. So, look, it's a Czech thing. I think, really, these guys grow up playing ice hockey as well as tennis in the Czech Republic, and I think that's one of the reasons they got such strong lower bodies.
I mean, I honestly haven't seen anything like this at this desk of three grown men talking about other men's legs, like the way that these guys are doing.
Big
I
shame.
Mean, the quadzilla factor, I thought that was safe for Saquon Barkley out here, not really bringing it to the tennis court. But I'll let you guys keep talking about other men's legs.
Game recognized game.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying?
Ain't no haters up here. Right now, new customers can get $200 in bonus bets if your $5 bet wins. Download the FanDuel Sportsbook app and start making every moment more. Well, we kind of put this into the universe and manifested it. Indian Wells has added a mixed doubles event this week. It just came out. Players received a letter from tournament director Tommy Haas. 8-team invitational starting Wednesday. We said Coco and Prakash were going to play. This was a few weeks ago we mentioned that.
I mean, P.
Where is the wild card?
My gosh, I'm Tommy. Surprised I haven't had 8 missed calls by the time I woke up this morning. Not only 4 from Tommy, but 4 from Prakash, making sure we got our practice reps in. I'll still be waiting. Don't worry, patiently.
Tommy, this woman is ready. She's ready to light up the course. You know your boy keeps it tight, too. So drop the wild card. Get us in there.
Has anybody contacted you yet this morning?
No, I didn't even know about this. This is very cool. I have some mixed doubles prowess. You know, in the past, I have won the Hopman Cup before. I think I aced Justine Henin like 35 times in that final.
I mean, that's just
which
slim
was
pickings
awesome.
There.
So, yes, but look, you know, put me in. Like, yeah. I'm in retirement. We're all in retirement here, but that's, you know, it's a little bit different. We're not like coming out of retirement playing mixed doubles. Let's do it.
It's an invitation. Prize pot, $150,000.
Listen, I'll find anyone have an extra pair of tennis shoes. I did not bring any. So if anyone has an extra pair, 9.5 men's, 10.5 women's, I'll take anything you got.
Okay. All right, John, this is your last go here on the desk. You're headed to the booth to call this match with Tsitsipas Lehecka.
Yeah, looking forward to this one. Both these guys, as I just mentioned, played incredibly well in their last match. This is a, you know, it's a titanic tussle out there on Stadium 2, so looking forward to this one.
Titanic tussle. We're going alliteration in the booth with Big John Isner. Don't go anywhere. We're back to break down some other matches as TC Live rolls on.
TC Live at the BNP Paribas Open is brought to you in part by FanDuel. Make every moment more.
It's another beautiful day in tennis paradise, and we are moments away from the walkouts on Stadium 1. Before that, hot shot of the day. Back to what Brett Haber calls the Nardi Party.
Don't you love it? Long rally. Big forehand up the line, and not just that, gets the hot shot, biggest win of his life, absolute life changer last night here in Indian Wells.
Amazing. I mean, listen, normally it's the guy that loses the match that gets the hot shot. Not only does he beat Novak, he gets the hot shot of the day. What a day to be the Nard Dog. How about this? Last 4 trips to the desert for the world number one, all losses. Last time he won here was 2016, and 2 of these, Coco, against guys ranked outside the top 100.
No, and it just shows how difficult these conditions are. Yes, Djokovic does get a bye, so that second round loss is essentially a first round to Daniel, but these matches are matches that we're so used to Djokovic coming through, and not only coming through, but quite easily. So it's definitely more shocking. I'm still putting a little bit of a trigger on the finger of panic button.
glass half full, he's still won a bunch of majors after losing all those matches. So maybe it doesn't mean as much as we make it out to be. Order of play today, beginning with Tsitsipas Lehechka. We've also got Alcaraz in the rematch against Marijan. Dimonor Zverev, that second top 10 matchup of the year on the men's side. But let's start by talking about Ben Shelton and Yannick Sinner. Benny Shelton's looking for his third top five win of his career. They played twice last year, Prakash. Split those. Yep. Ben won their last match. So what's the pathway to victory for the American?
Well, the good news is he's coming in with that victory in mind. And it's one thing to play a close match with a great champion like Yannick Sinner, one of the hottest player on tour. It's another thing to actually get over the hump and get that victory. So he's got that tucked away, something he can pull on in the close moments against Sinner. But again, I think he's got to stick to his guns. He's got to have a great serving day because Sinner is doing that even better than when they played last. And two, I think he's got to get nice and aggressive in the right moments with that backhand. If Sinner starts peppering that backhand with his own backhand up the line, the forehand cross court, and Shelton gets a little too defensive, that's going to be a bad pattern for him. So as long as Shelton can keep sort of moving on the front foot and playing within himself. Sometimes Shelton try to pulls out these shots from behind the baseline or outside the doubles alley when it's not there. If he can kind of keep those in control, let the power take care of itself, I think he's got a good shot.
That is my match of the day on the men's side. Ben Shelton, Yannick Sinner, get your popcorn, get ready. On the women's side, it's the battle of the moms. Angie Kerber, Caroline Wozniacki meeting for the 16th time. They've known each other since they were like 7 and 9, 6 and 8. Who's going to win this one?
Well, I think you got to go with Angie Kerber. It's tough to knock Caro, but she's come out and said it herself that she is not feeling physically as well as she wants to feel. Yes, coming in with a couple bumps and bruises into this event, but I think I've got to give the knock to the tournament. How do you put this match on Stadium 2? It's such a big-time match, such a big story out there. And give these moms some love. It's going to be a battle, same, similar game. They're both going to want to make these rallies extended. But given that that Caro's fitness is in question, I think that's got to be tested early and often by Kerber.
The good news, you get some Nobu while watching this one. Right? Stadium 2 is a very
Are you
nice...
still rubbing in the fact that we didn't get the invite to Nobu and you're just holding
that was cold.
I'm just saying a little yellowtail sashimi is pretty good with Kerber and Wozniacki. We've got Tsitsipas first up against Lehechka. We've talked about it a little bit. But what do you think Lehechka needs to do most in this match, Prakash?
I think a couple of things, but just first couple of things that keep in mind are he's probably got to keep Steph in that forehand pocket. I'd rather have Steph moving to his right, trying to dig out that forehand from that side instead of kind of dominating the middle of the court and finding those inside-out forehands. When he's got forehands in the middle of the court, he's able to go three different directions with it, inside-out, short, inside-in, and that's when he's really dictating play. And when he pulls Steph out wide there, it opens up his backhand. So I think Jiří's got to look for that pattern a bit, serve well, and I would love to see him get in a little bit. Jiří's pretty technically competent up at net, and if he can put a little pressure on Steph, try to make him come up with some backhand passing shots on some big points, I think that'll be a good changeup as well.
A little confused by that. He was in a car, not a golf cart. Normally it's the golf cart, but I guess the car takes you to the golf cart. Many modes of transportation.
It's a big sight here.
You need a lot to be able to get around.
Motorcade, then golf cart, then walk on. I mean, they make this thing a big deal. I mean, it's fifth major, right? So Coco for Stefano Tsitsipas. This court suit him well?
I think it does. I think it definitely suits his game, gives him a little bit more time on the backhand, and definitely helps his returns. He's been stepping back deep on the returns, so it gives you just that little bit of extra time to pick your target, have a clear vision in mind, and I do think Stefanos comes out with the victory in this match.
We talked about the head-to-head. It is two love for Tsitsipas. Both of those matches, Prakash, went three sets. It's not like these have been easy wins for the Greek.
No, and that's why, you know, we were tossing up those numbers there. Yeah. With, it was a minus 200 it was for Lehechka. I think it's going to be a tight match. I mean, Jiří's also coming in with exceptional form. You know, getting that win over Rublev in straight sets, you don't just do that against Rublev on a court this slow. So I think that's going to play into it a little bit of a difference. We might see a couple of breakers. Both players serving really well.
I mean, when upsets are in the air, Djokovic going out last night, sometimes you think as a player, why not me? Why can't I get through in this match? And so I think that could be brewing a little bit in every player's mind that's in the locker room facing a higher seed. So we'll see if Lehechka and his clean ball striking is able to get out there and really take it to Steph and take time away, get him thinking about his service games and also thinking about that backhand. The one, sometimes he can throw in a lot of miss hits and then he starts pressing more and more off of his forehand wing.
Just 22 years old, this would be his first Masters 1000 quarterfinal, but the fact that he was able to beat a top five guy in Andrei Rublev, what kind of confidence does that give you knowing you can beat a man at the top of the game?
Oh, massive confidence. I mean, once you get one victory, it seems like the second one comes easier. And I've beaten a couple of top players in my heyday, and it was always seemed like if I matched them at the same tournament, once I kind of smelled blood in the water, it was ready to go. I was ready to take that next scalp. And so you got to think that all these players coming out here feeling confident within themselves in their game. Now we're on to the fourth round. There's not going to be too many hiccups. You're going to find your rhythm quickly. So you're going to see a tough contested match today.
All right, looking forward to it. It will be Chanda Rubin and John Isner on the call. Stefanos Tsitsipas and Yuri Lehechka will be here at the desk all day to interview your favorite stars, get you updated on any news from around the grounds. Thanks so much for watching TC Live. It is a big Super Tuesday in Tennis Paradise.